Time for us to talk science and technology. And I wanted to let you know today about a new study that is underway at Stellenbosch University's Sports Science Department, looking at the impact of a stroke on the human body. And the team behind it is actively recruiting for stroke survivors to help them in their research and take part in the study. So we've asked one of them to join us in studio to tell us a bit more about what they're looking at and who they're looking for. Delighted to welcome Talia Weber, who is a master's student, part of this research team. Talia, thanks for popping through to join us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's a great pleasure. I think firstly, before we talk about the study, just tell us a little bit about the department.
Okay. So I'm a part of a center called the Movement Laboratory, and we are a part of a whole lot of research which mainly focuses on neurological injuries such as Parkinson's disease, stroke, and concussion. But we also work with adults and children. At the moment we are doing a study which involves stroke survivors, so anyone who has experienced a stroke. And so that's what we're doing at the moment.
Okay. I know you're not a doctor, but in layman's terms, for the sake of those listening who don't really understand, just sketch for us what a stroke is. What happens in the body?
Okay. So during a stroke, what happens is the blood supply to the brain is actually cut off. So certain brain cells begin to die. And that is what a stroke is.
Okay. Now, obviously, depending on how long that cutting off lasts and how quickly intervention happens, the damage that can be caused will vary greatly. What is the kind of damage that can happen as a result of a stroke?
So it can result in permanent loss of speech, movement disorders, and so those are the two main things, but it really does vary from person to person when their rehabilitation time.
Okay. Now, you've got a very personal reason for working on this project. Won't you share that with us, please?
Yes, of course. So I've always been very keen on adaptive sport and inclusive sport for all abilities. But during the time of my internship and just before that, my gran suffered very many strokes. And so, and my grandpa's actually also living with Parkinson's disease at the moment.
Okay.
So I've always been interested in the neurological side of things. But when that happened and I saw a gap in the market for, outpatient rehabilitation, I would really like to be able to bridge the gap between outpatient care and, you know, getting people back to their daily lives.
Okay, so that's the long-term goal. Let's talk then about what you're doing in the study and what you're specifically looking at.
Okay, so basically I'm looking at the front part of the brain, which is responsible for decision-making, which has been found to be very important aspect in regaining movement again. So what we are doing is we are looking at what is happening in the brain during different exercises. So we want to find what exercises cause more or less activation. So what should we be focusing all of our time on, and what we should be including in exercise programs as applied scientists, and what we can perhaps leave out. So it would be nice to have more goal-directed exercises by actually having the evidence to say, you know, this exercise causes a lot of activation in the brain or not. Because
and so lots of activation is good. That's
is
what
good.
You're looking for. It's,
yes.
it's the brain
That's it.
Rebuilding pathways. And is it possible to always, to ever entirely reverse the impact of a stroke?
So it really does depend on the person's case. But an important concept behind our research at the moment is neuroplasticity, which is something that describes the way that the central nervous system can actually regain its, not regain, it can adapt according to the demands of the environment. So it's one of the most important concepts is called use it or lose it. So if you don't practice a skill, then those pathways aren't going to fire, and then you're less likely to be able to do that skill.
Okay.
So you've got to use it, otherwise you're going to lose it. So if we practice the behaviors and the movements that cause more activation in the brain, then perhaps, you know, more neuroplasticity can occur.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's in it for those who volunteer to be part of the study? let's talk about what they would expect to happen, because I know a lot of people think of anything to do with the medical study, they worry about needles, there's nothing like that involved,
there's absolutely
right?
nothing like that involved. It literally involves three sessions. The first one can be telephonic. Each session about 60 to 90 minutes long. And the second and third session are primarily going to be movements, certain movements that we do every day, you know, walking, sitting to stand, and turning, those sort of movements. So you do need a certain amount of function to partake in the study. Mm-hmm. But if you can move with a walking stick or a crutch or a walker, that is also absolutely fine.
And will you attach sensors to people to map what's going on in the brain as they perform those movements?
Yes. So it's actually a really awesome new device that we are using. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like a helmet. You place it on the person's head along with the other OPAL sensors on the body, and then they do the movements with them on, but there's no pain, there's absolutely nothing, and it's a very quick process.
Okay. What's the potential benefit to those who take part, other than knowing that they are benefiting other stroke survivors potentially?
So other than that, we are qualified biokineticists, so each person will receive their own exercise program according to their needs, or if they are injured or experiencing any back pain or anything that they're worried about, and then as well as patient education. So if each person has any questions or, anything that I can help them with, then that's what we're there for.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've said already that the one criterion is that people must have some degree of mobility. Are there any other criteria that listeners need to be aware of?
So living within the Western Cape, plus minus 70 kilometers from Stellenbosch University, and then if you're able to stand up from a seated position, unassisted from a human, but you can use a cane or a crutch. Mm-hmm. And then you just need to be able to understand instructions and verbally be able to respond.
Okay.
Yeah.
So follow instructions and respond means you must have some verbal communication skills still intact as well. Right. If somebody listening is going, well, that's me and I'd love to be part of the study, how do they make contact with you, Talia?
So they're more than welcome to contact me over email, which is TAYLIASTORM@gmail.com.
TaliaStorm@gmail.com. Okay. And if you're driving and weren't able to take that down or are just away from a pen and pencil right now, you're welcome to drop me an email when you have got a chance on pippah@capetalk.co.za, and I will gladly pass Talia's details on to you. Anything else you'd like our listeners to know, Talia?
No.
Okay. I think we've covered the basics of who you're looking for and why those who qualify should consider participating. All that remains to say then is good luck to you, and I really hope you get your volunteers. How many are you looking for in total?
About 100.
Okay. So please, if you're listening thinking that's contact me, maybe I should turn the maybe into a yes and at least send that first email to find out more.
Yes. Okay. So we can better our rehabilitation if we know what's going on in the brain. So it'll be really beneficial.
Talia Weber, thank you so much for joining us. Master's student at Stellenbosch University within the Sports Science Department. And again, if you feel that you or somebody you know meets those criteria, please do share her email address or drop me an email for further contact details.